One of the parties, I had too much tequila and I woke up with a hickey, and it was given by my biological father.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This episode contains discussions of graphic sex, molestation, and sexual assault. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to the Secret Life Podcast. Tell me your secret. I'll tell you mine. Sometimes you have to go through the darkness to reach the light. That's what I did. After 12 years of recovery in sex and love addiction, I finally found my soulmate, myself. Please join me in my novel, Secret Life of a Hollywood Sex and Love Addict, a 4-time bestseller on Amazon. It's a brutal, honest, raw, gnarly ride, but hilarious at the same time. Check it out now on Amazon. Welcome to Secret Life Podcast. I'm Breanne Davis-Gant. Today, I'm pulling back the curtains of all kinds of human secrets. We'll hear about what people are hiding from themselves or others. You know, those deep, dark secrets you probably want to take to your grave, or those lighter, funnier secrets that are just plain embarrassing. Really, the how, what, when, where, and why of it all. Today, my guest is Crystal. Now, Crystal, I have a question for you.
Dun, dun, dun.
What is your secret?
Well, I have two secrets. I'm going to start with a funny one. Was married at 14. I'm originally from Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. And long story short, my mom is how she is, and I love her to death. Mm-hmm. But she found out, she asked me if I had sex with my boyfriend. My boyfriend said no. I said yes. And 3 days later, she had a judge come into the house to marry me.
No. You got forced into marriage by your mom?
Well, I mean, if you're going to bring the judge to the house, I was like, if you're going to go through all that trouble, I just get married. I mean, so it wasn't like forced.
Well, yeah, she was like, here you go. You better do it. You have to get married, pretty much. And you said, okay.
It was... Yeah, it was a month before my 15th birthday.
Oh my God.
And we celebrate quinceañera, you know, in the big community. So I had everything set up and she canceled everything. So I was like, I'm at least going to use my dress. So I got to wear my dress.
Oh, well, there you go. I love the positive spin. At 14, though. Wow, that is so young. How do you even know how to be a wife at 14?
Oh, I didn't. I was the worst one. He says I was good, but I was the worst one. I called my mom a lot.
Are you still married?
My mother-in-law. No, we only lived together for 10 months.
Oh, it lasted 10 months.
Yeah, I was out of there. And then that's going to go into leading to my second secret.
Okay, what is that secret?
So, long story short, again, mm-hmm. After the marriage, you know, I called my biological father and I was like, hey, I'm done with Puerto Rico. Can I go and live with you? Mm-hmm. So I came and lived with him, but that experience was like my worst time ever. And now I can say I'm a survivor of incest.
Oh.
Because when I came over here, mm-hmm. I was a teenager.
Yeah, you were 15, right?
If yes.
It was 10 months. So you, where did you move to from Puerto Rico in the States?
Yes, I was in Maryland for 3 years.
So you moved to Maryland. Had you ever met your father, biological father?
When I was one, he stopped by on his honeymoon. He was like, hey, let me kill two birds with one stone.
Honeymoon to another woman?
Yes, it was his second marriage, and he stopped by to meet his daughter on his honeymoon in Puerto Rico.
Okay, but you were 1 year old. You don't remember that. So honestly, when you moved...
I was 9.
Oh, you were 9. So you still, right, so young. So then you move with him or to Maryland. And then what happened?
He's a stranger.
Yeah, a complete stranger.
Yeah, so we were like friends. And he started the training because he didn't want me to be like my mother.
Okay, wait.
He was married to my mother.
Okay, what did you just say? Training? What does that mean?
To be a better wife. So pretty much grooming. You will call that grooming?
Grooming, yes. Your biological father groomed you to be a better wife.
Yes.
Wow.
I have never said that before.
And I know, and we were just talking, you and I, before, like laughing at those uncomfortable moments, right? Like that laughter, because that's how we process it sometimes. Because you just said this out loud for the first time. And all I want to do is like hug you. And it's like, it's uncomfortable.
Okay, let me go back real quick. My parents got married.
Okay.
They get divorced because he used to hit my mom. My mom is from a small town in Puerto Rico.
Okay.
My biological father is a New Yorker, meaning that he was half in New York and half in Puerto Rico. So that's what it's called, New Yorker. So he goes to the island and meets my mom. My mom had no business to be with this man.
Can I ask, is there a huge age gap with them or no?
No, not really. No. I think my mom is a year older than him. And long story short, there's a crazy stuff that happens in Puerto Rico after they get married. And he disappears from the island.
Were they married still?
Yes. And my mom, instead of being like, hey, you left me here, I want nothing to do with you, my mom said, buy me a ticket so I can go with you. So she goes to New York and she gets beat up from day one.
Oh, your poor mother.
Yes. She is an angel and I call her almost perfect. So I love her to death. She's my best friend. She had the help of a lot of brothers. She got 10 siblings.
Oh, wow.
So she had a support to get her back to the island and put a wall so she wouldn't go back because she kept going back and forth. You know how it is. Yeah. Your first love. So, but once I was born, she didn't want me to be in that environment.
So you then were raised in Puerto Rico.
She goes back to Puerto Rico and she meets my dad, who I call my dad, but I was a year old when he came into our lives. So my stepdad. Well, he's my dad. I mean, I'm a daddy's girl. He is awesome.
Oh, I love that. So she had a happy ending with that then.
Yes. My stepdad, he's been amazing, rescue us and everything else. At 9 years old, I meet my biological father. At 15 years old, I tell him, let me live with you.
How'd your mom feel about that?
Oh, she almost ended up at a mental hospital. It's not funny. I'm sorry. I have asked him for forgiveness. But she lost her shit.
Yeah. But she couldn't probably stop you, right? She couldn't.
I have been a force since I was born. So no, it's pretty much I do my thing. Once I say my mind into something, I get it done. So, and she saw it as she knew that once I wanted to live with him, there was nothing that she could do. She just was waiting for it to be like when I was 18 or 20, not at 15. And being an only child, I was her world. I was her purpose. I was her mission. So I just came over here and went to school at English as a second language. And then they gave a test and they were like, oh, you're too smart. You have to go to an American school. So I went to an American school and graduated. At this time, we're just like friends. And he's doing that training. My 16.
Can you just explain to the listeners what that training is?
Yes. Okay. So at 16 years old, that's a few months after I I came here in August, 19 years ago. In November, my 16th birthday, he gives me a toy, adult toy, so I can learn about my body. Mm-hmm. When he took me shopping, he bought me thongs and sexy lingerie.
And what did he say when he was doing that? How did he explain that?
That he wanted me to be sexy and not turn like my mom, boring.
Boring. And what were you thinking? Can I just ask your young 16-year-old mind, what were the thoughts in your head if you can go back and remember?
That is where a lot of the shame comes from, because in Puerto Rico, I couldn't talk about this kind of conversations.
Yeah, sexual, conversation.
It was a voodoo. We pretty much have the conversation after somebody gets pregnant.
Which is not the best, not the best form of sexual education, I would say.
Not at all.
Was there this, like, as a young 16-year-old with this man you don't know, but you trust because he's your biological father, right? So we're supposed to trust our biological parents, but then there's this, are you feeling powerful in your sexuality a little bit because you're able to have these conversations?
Oh, yeah. My 16-year-old self, it was like, yes, somebody understands me.
Somebody gets me. Somebody wants me to live my truth or my full self and not trying to like squash my sexuality. Is that what you were thinking?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. I totally get that too. When I was 15, 16, I felt like, oh, I'm being seen for like the whole me. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yes.
It was the missing piece of the puzzle.
That your mom was always denying you.
Yes, because my whole family is a type of like they hit you with the Bible. You're going to believe in God or you're going to believe in God. Like there's no other choice. And I want to be clear, my mom's side of the family and my dad, who took me in when I was one, nothing like this has ever happened. And I have a lot of uncles that are alcoholics, and they don't touch young girls. I respect, I don't know how many uncles I have, but I respect all of them. Now, coming to my biological side of the family, it has been known of other family members doing that to other family members.
Wow. So it's almost like this weird, twisted addiction, generational trauma that has gotten passed down, it sounds like.
Yes. And I'm trying to stop the generational curse.
And this is what you're doing right now, because talking about it is the first step.
Yes. So then 3 years in Maryland. So I don't see that part is grooming, but I didn't see it as an abuse because of my mentality at 16 years old of like, I'm free. I can be myself. Somebody understands me.
Yes.
Coming to where I live now, things changed. The training went into another level.
Okay.
Because I was actually the woman of the house because my stepmom has stayed behind. She didn't want to move.
Okay. So that was at 19, are you saying? So 16 to 19, he was grooming you. How far did the grooming go? Did he just like say?
It was just conversations.
Okay. So then at 19, you guys move?
We moved to another state.
And she didn't want to go.
She didn't want to come with us.
Wow. So it's almost like she sacrificed you or something.
It was toxic between them. They have a son, which is my half brother. And I was the one trying to protect him from all the fighting and craziness.
Right, right, right. So you took on the protective role.
Yes.
Right.
And then when I came over here, it was already the mindset, but nothing had happened yet of I'm the wife and I have a son.
So you totally took on that role.
100%.
Okay, so when did it just turn? Like, can you take us to that day? When
we went to, I was into swingers. I was, I'm into the poly lifestyle. Like right now, my boyfriend has two girlfriends. So I have always been in the swingers world, poly life and all of that.
Hey, I'm down for any poly life as long as there's communication. People always think because I'm a sex and love addict that I don't I only believe in monogamy, which is not for me. I do. But hey, if you are in that world, that is totally cool. If it's there's communication, it's the lying and the secrets that I think is where it gets shiesty.
1,000%.
Yeah.
And now it's three consensual adults in this relationship. So everything is cool. Well, anyway, that's for another episode.
Yeah, that's like a whole other episode. You're like taking us secrets through secrets. But let me just ask you, when did you start doing the poly lifestyle? Did you do that between like 16 and 19? Like when you were dating people and stuff?
I was introduced to it the second I got to Kansas.
Okay. Okay. So at 19.
At 18, 19.
Okay.
I was already straight up got in the plane and got my first girlfriend and stuff like that. Oh, okay. I have been bisexual all of my life.
Love it.
But it wasn't until Kansas that I found out about swingers. Mm. So I have this guy who's in his 30s and he owns clubs. Well, in one of the swingers event, my biological father was there.
He just showed up. Did you know he was going?
Well, he was into the swingers lifestyle, too. It was going to happen sooner or later. And instead of being awkward and leaving, we started hanging out together.
And going to these events together.
Yes.
Okay.
Because he felt instead of being a responsible biological father and being like, hey, you're in your 30s, you shouldn't be with my teenager. It was like, oh, no, when is the next party so we can go too?
So here's my question. When did it turn sideways?
One of the parties, I had too much tequila and I woke up with a hickey and it was given by my biological father.
Wow. Did you know it was given to him by him or did he inform you?
I woke up next to him and his girlfriend at the time.
Wow. And how was that? How was that revelation to your sober mind?
Very bad. We could not talk about it. We got yelled at if we tried to talk about it. And then with a lot more grooming, alcohol, and I don't want to say weed because I'm pro weed, but with a lot of alcohol and weed, that he groomed me more to like turn me into the mistress at the time.
Of him and his girlfriend.
Yes.
Wow. And then I know this is like sensitive and I totally, if you don't want to answer any questions, you do not have to. And I'm just saying that, but like, when was that moment that it went all the way? Were you so drunk? Were you so high that you don't remember? And you like, cause I disassociated when I was sexually assaulted. So I don't remember, but I just wondering if you have that memory or not.
Even through a lot of trauma work, therapy, and all kinds of stuff. If you tell me to scratch my head three times a day, I will do it.
Yeah.
I can't remember that night.
Yeah, it's like your brain is protecting you.
And I had like a lot of tequila, so blackouts was, Patron was known to have a lot of blackouts as a teenager.
But here's the thing, that alcohol protected you. Because sometimes those memories, when we black them out like that, it's our psyche taking care of us because we can't go there. You know what I mean?
So one therapist explained to me as a veteran going to war.
Yep.
He does what he needs to do to survive.
Yep.
Then comes back. And he has to deal with, am I that person that was in survival or am I this person now?
Right.
So this is me.
Yes.
I did what I had to do to survive because I was afraid of him. Mm-hmm. And I knew that I was going to lose him and my brother. So I'm losing my husband and my son. And that was very hard.
Very hard. Especially
having all my family in Puerto Rico.
Yeah. So That is an amazing description, and because it's that PTSD, right, that we protect, like that survival. But and then we go through. So how? What was the moment? Well, okay, let me ask this first. How long did that go on?
Because the fell out of work again, I thought that it was like for 100 years, but it comes out that I met the guy that I was dating at the time that introduced me to Swingers Club. We had lost contact and started contact again at 21. And then at 22, I met my boyfriend. So I'm thinking like maybe a year and a half, where there was a lot, like 6 months of grooming until I just finally gave in.
And how long did that giving in go for? How long did that period of time?
That's what I'm saying. That is in 22? Between a year to a year and a half.
Got you.
Because
got
at
you.
22, I met my boyfriend and it was 22 in November and I met him in April. So that's what I'm saying. Between 21 and 22, when I met my boyfriend, that's like a year and a half.
Yeah. So that went on a year and a half. Wow.
Yes.
Okay, so how has the intense, because you've been doing therapy and going through this trauma, how has the waves of that affected your relationships and yourself?
I didn't have a relationship with myself till the past year.
Wow, congratulations. Oh my God, I'm going to cry. That's huge, because sometimes people that have been through what you're talking about never get that relationship with self. So how has that been like finding yourself again?
I love myself. I am feeling less and less shame every day.
Good.
And just feeling like a true badass.
You are a badass. And here's the thing. Here's the thing. It's like when things like that happen to us, or we think we put ourselves in those positions, we were taken advantage of. You were taken advantage of. You were young, right? So there's forgiveness. There is no shame. There is no stigma. You were a victim.
Yes. Thank you.
But that takes a really long internal work and time to get to that. And can you just describe that healing process to the listeners? If anybody's going through any abuse whatsoever, that you can help them see there's light at the end of the tunnel?
Oh, yeah. At first, it feels like you're dying.
Yes.
But it's like my mentor explained it, you are dying and birthing a new person, the true you, your true self, without the abuse, without the manipulation. And you just take it day by day.
Yeah.
I just had a breakdown before this interview. I listened to my Christian playlist on Spotify and I was ready to go. Let's do this.
Oh, tell me about the breakdown right before. Were you just crying? Like, what was coming up for you?
There was a song saying about the future and your story is powerful. I wish I could remember it. And it just hit me. And I just started crying and telling myself that I love myself, that I was okay, that I am okay. And that this story is not mine. It's like, I'm religious, so it belongs to God.
Yes.
And it will help others. So I had to go through hell to help others, then I'll take it. It was my battle. I fought it. And now I'm on the other side. Thankfully.
Yeah. And I just have to tell you, telling how we started and how you're talking now is completely different. Just so you know, like the tone of your voice and the power that you just said that in is just, I got goosebumps, because that's the truth. We go through this darkness, you and I, or whoever is listening, to then give it to someone else to help them. Do you see? Like, this isn't your story anymore. This doesn't define you.
Yes.
And it actually has given you this purpose. I always think like my darkness has given me a purpose to help other people.
Yeah. And that's what I do it. I do it on social media on the other side, you know, and I just love it because I know that there's a lot of people feeling alone, especially when it comes to family members hurting you that are supposed to be the people that help you. But when that happens, then you have to create your own family the ones that doesn't trigger you, the ones that respect you, and the ones that love you for who you are.
Yes, and doesn't take advantage of you. It doesn't cross boundaries, right? So that is my last question for you. I literally could talk to you forever, and I just love that you give your story over to God. Like, that is so powerful. But if somebody is listening and they're, you know, have inappropriate family members, incest, somebody grooming them, what would be your first advice for them? What would be your words of hope for them right now?
Oh my, it's so complicated, because when it comes to family, depending on the age too. Mm-hmm. So speak your truth and find that person that believes you, because there is people out there that believe you and will protect you and will love you.
Wow. Well, thank you, Crystal, for coming on and sharing your experience, strength, and hope in your story. And I'm just so honored to know you and just proud of you and your healing, honestly. Thank you.
Thank you for building this safe place for me to share my story.
Oh my God, I'm going to cry. Okay. If you want to be on the show, please email me at secretlifepodcast@icloud.com. Until next time. Thanks again for listening to the show. Please subscribe, rate, share, or send me a note at secretlifepodcast.com. And if you'd like to check out my book, head over to secretlifenovel.com or Amazon to pick up a copy for yourself or someone you love. Thanks again. See you soon.